Open up the scriptures to Deuteronomy and chapter 7. And I'm reading from verse 1 down to verse 9. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, you'll enjoy this. The Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them, show them no mercy, do not intermarry with them, do not give your daughters to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you're to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Now, last week we began a new short series looking at encouragement, words of encouragement that are given in the scriptures from God to us and for us to encourage somebody. Now, I know some of you, encouragement just seems to come naturally. Hardly a day goes by, if at all, when you want to boost somebody else up. You want to tell somebody, that was really good, I appreciated that. You're looking good today. That shirt, that skirt, whatever, looks fabulous on you. Do you say that often? But, you know, for some people, doesn't it? You know, it just rolls from them. And it's great to be around those kind of people who all the time are speaking good blessings to you, encouraging things to you. But some of us find it a little more difficult to encourage. What it is to encourage is literally to encourage, to give courage or to give strength to the other person. And we might think, well, just blessing somebody and saying they look good, that's hardly doing that. But what do? When we give strength, do you remember the little toys? You probably can still get them now. That would only stand so high. They'd be on a little wooden base with a figure. And if you push the bottom of the base, what happened to the figure? They flopped all over. That's how we can be sometimes. And let's be honest, we can be like that about trivial things, about the way we look or the way we feel or anything. But we can also feel a bit like that over more serious things. Things that we're finding really difficult, as we looked at last week, as we thought about encouragement last week, about where we're living right now. We might feel really kind of down about it, about our careers, about our relationships, about our families, or whatever it is, about our finances. We can feel down. Now, when we encourage, it gives strength. And suddenly that person, when you receive encouragement, you're lifted up and it feels good. And you think, it's okay, I can carry on. That's what encouragement is. That's what we're doing. Now, today, in the next few minutes, we're just looking and reflecting on these words. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love. Let's say those words together. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love. An alternative today is to say what this is about today is what to do when you mess up. Okay? And you may not have related to anything I've just said before this, but what to do when you mess up. Some of you may never mess up. But some of us can't help messing up. But that's what it's about today, what to do when you mess up. And what we're going to do is reflect on these words. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love. And as we reflect on that and have a look at it, there are three key things that we can see there. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. That's the first thing. Secondly, he is the faithful God. Thirdly, keeping his covenant of love. The very first thing is, God is God. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. And immediately, you might be thinking, well, that's such an obvious thing. What a strange thing to say. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. Well, of course he is. He wouldn't be God if he wasn't God. What they're trying to say, what the encouragement is, to remember that God is God. And we can say that what it means is that God is different than us. And that's probably a very good thing. God is different from us. There are some people who say, well, you know, saying God is different is not actually a very good way to say it. Because if you say that somebody's different from you, immediately you're comparing them to who? You. So to say God is different, well, we're comparing him. And so there are those who say, no, we can't use the word different. We use the word other. Which is kind of, when you get your head around this, it's a good way of saying it. He is other. He's not different because he is different, but to say he's different is comparing him to us. He is other. He's just beyond. He's other. God is God. And so when Moses speaks these words to the people of Israel in this book that we know as Deuteronomy, he's saying, we need to remember, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He's not like you. He doesn't think like you. He doesn't act like you. He is different. He is other than you. Utmost respect and honor and awe for him, because he is so very different than us. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. God is God. Secondly, God is the faithful God. Your God, he is the faithful God. When we talk about God is faithful, or what are some other attributes of God? God is faithful. God is dependable. God is dependable. God is constant. God is just. God is love. God is unchanging. We could keep going for a bit. What we are saying, when we say God is the faithful God, now look, faithful is who God is. Faithful is what God does. Might not be very good English, but faithful is who God is. God, when we say God is faithful, it's not as if we're saying, well, God gets up in the morning and decides today to be faithful. But he might not be tomorrow. He's generally faithful, but if something happens that he doesn't like, he's not faithful anymore. Now, that's not what we're saying. Faithful, God as faithful, that is part of the core of his being. If we could strip God down and examine his DNA, in his DNA would be faithful. God himself cannot get away from his own faithfulness. God is faithful. God, faithful is who God is. It's intrinsic to his being. Faithful is what God does. He cannot help being faithful and being true. So know therefore that God is God. He's different than you. He's other than you. He's magnificent. He's awesome. He's beyond you. Don't treat him like you treat a friend. He's different. He's other. Know that he is faithful, but this is not something God turns on and off. It is who he is. In a sense, we might say he can't help it, because that's who he is. God is faithful. And the third thing we have here, well, I start with the question, what does it actually mean that God is faithful? That's a great phrase. God is faithful. What does it mean? And it means simply that God keeps his promises. God is faithful. If he promises something, he keeps his promise. Now, one of the great ways for us to get around that in terms of our own life is never to make a promise. Any of you ever decided to do that? Well, I'm never going to promise because I struggle to be faithful with the promise or whatever it is. God is faithful. He can't help being faithful. And therefore, if he does promise, he keeps his promise. He is a faithful God keeping his covenant of love. Now, if you've got your Bible still open, have a look at verse 8 there, where God is saying, this is why I've chosen you. Verse 8 says, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath. That's a sacred promise. He swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So God is remembering he made a promise. He made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to give you a particular land. You're going to live in this particular place. But of course, the people of Israel find themselves in slavery in Egypt. They cry out to God, and we're told God remembered his promise. God remembered his promise. I promised Abraham. I promised Isaac. I promised Jacob. I was going to give them a safe and secure land, a place to live. And because he had promised, he was going to be faithful to that promise. And so, very simply, in that this verse, we have those three things. We have God is God. And then we have God is the faithful God. Then we have God keeps his promises. And that's what we have. But what I said last week is when we look at these words of encouragement from the Bible, it's very easy to detach them off the page, as it were, write them up, and that can be a nice saying for us. But what we need to do is say, okay, why did God say that? What's the story that goes around with it? What was going on in the lives of Moses or Abraham or the people of Israel or Jesus, whoever it is, what was going on that caused him to say that? Well, you see, a couple of things. Firstly, the people of Israel had messed up. Secondly, they were given a second chance. They were given another chance. The people of Israel had messed up. Remember at the beginning what to do if you mess up? The people of Israel had messed up. At the beginning of Deuteronomy 7, it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess. The thing was, this wasn't the first time they got to this point. They'd been here before. Have you ever felt like that? I've been here before. I've messed up before, but now I'm coming back. And maybe you think, well, I've been here not just once, twice, three times, four times. I've been here so many times. If only I could get past this particular point. If only I could make progress beyond this particular point. The people of Israel had messed up. They'd messed the opportunity that God had presented them with. But God gives them another chance. And that's where we see what to do when you mess up. What to do when you mess up. See, I can take that away as well. See, wouldn't it be great if you could just take your messes away? And this is the thing about when you make a mess. Now, we're not talking about spilling something. We're talking about when we make a mess in our own lives and we make a decision that's not a good decision. We do something selfishly and it backfires on us. We act out of greed or whatever it is, we mess up. And you could, best not, but you could tell me many examples, I'm sure, from your life and my life where we have messed up. And the thing is, when we mess up, it begins to obscure everything that's good. Yeah? That's the problem. Is that when we mess up, it begins to obscure everything that's good. And what we want to do is just take it away. And then we find we can't take it away. It's just there. We've messed up. The people of Israel, they thought, well, can't we just take it away? This mess, we've dishonored God, we've disobeyed God, we've disregarded him. We've treated him like nothing. Talk about treating him as different. No, we've treated him as worse than us. If only we could take away the mess. But God said, no, it's not that easy. We've got to deal with the mess. And then we can move on. And there's no way around it. We've got to sort it out. There was a man who went to work one day, and when he got to work, his work colleagues were astonished because he arrived at work completely bedraggled. His beautiful suit was torn. He had blood dripping off his elbows, his knees, he'd cut his head. And his colleagues just said, what on earth happened to you? I set out from home, he said. I walked down the road every day. And somebody dug a hole and I fell down the hole. Look at me. I didn't want to be late, so I just got out and carried on. The next day, that same man turned up at work, bedraggled, suit torn again. Must have got a new one. He torn again, blood, bruise. What on earth happened to you today? Oh, well, I walked down that street every day. And so that hole, I fell down it again. But I clambered out and I kept going and I got here. The next day, that man comes to work and he's bedraggled. He's obviously got a new suit, but it's torn again and he's bruised. And so it goes on. Every day, that same man, bruised, broken, messed up, gets to work. One day, that man turns up for work and he looks fantastic. His suit looks better than it's ever done. His tie is still in place. His hair is neat and tidy. He looks great. His colleagues, who've got used to seeing him a real mess because of the hole he keeps falling down, what happened to you? Didn't you fall down the hole? No, I just chose a different route to come to work. The problem is that when we mess up, so often we don't learn from the experience and we just mess up again. And then we mess up again, we mess up again, we mess up again. And what happens? It becomes normal. We just say, we become so used to it, we say, oh, well, that's just me. I can't help it. And we are so loving and forgiving with one another. We just say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's all right. But you have to do something. Something has to change if we're not going to mess up anymore. So what do we do when we mess up? What do you do? What is the word of encouragement for us that would give us strength, that would lift us up, that would help us when we mess up? Well, there are two things, and I'll put them both up, and then I'll talk about them. Remember, God is faithful, and he loves you. The quickest thing you think if you're anything like me, when you mess up, is God doesn't love me anymore. But here's the thing, God is faithful. He can't help being faithful. And he is love also. And intrinsic to his being is love. He promises to love. He can do no other than love. And so when the people of Israel mess up, what they have to remember is God is faithful and he loves you. What does it say? Verse 7, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. You were the fewest. God doesn't love you because he likes the blue of your eyes. He doesn't love you because you've been successful. He doesn't love you because you're intelligent or hardworking or all the things we applaud in one another. He doesn't love you because of any of those things. What does it say? But it is because the Lord loved you. It is because the Lord loved you. Why does he love you? Well, he would do no other. When you mess up, remember, God is faithful and he loves you. He loves you. And this we seek to instill in our children. And sometimes, I guess, how poorly we do it. But that is, do you know, that is one of the fundamental responsibilities of parenting, is to instill in children the values and the life that we see in God. To instill that in our children. Faithfulness, love, mercy, kindness, steadfastness. God is faithful. We say that to our kids. We communicate that to our kids. I'm faithful to you. I love you. Doesn't matter what you do. Do you know, one of the most striking examples I ever saw of that, when I was probably still at school. Do you remember the case of the Yorkshire Ripper? Do you remember that? Years, I couldn't tell you. At the end of the 70s, perhaps? Something like that. Early 80s, something like that. The Yorkshire Ripper. And I remember, as a young man, I was fascinated by this case. And my dad used to get the Times newspaper every day. So I would sit down, I'd read what was happening in the case. I don't think we had a TV at the time. It wasn't on the news very much on the TV because I couldn't see it. So I read it in the paper every day. And I remember right at the end of the trial, he'd been sentenced to life imprisonment. He would never be released. And Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper, he had been sent down and his dad came out of the court. And immediately the reporters jumped on him, apparently. What do you think of your son? About what he's done? What he said was, he's still my son. He's still my son. Oh, still my son. After all he had done. Still my son. When we mess up, remember, God is faithful. He still loves you. That has never changed. But the second thing is, remember, you are holy. You are a... Verse 6, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. I think that's a strange thing. To be holy, what does that mean? To be holy, it means basically you belong to God. God is holy. He is other than us. He is different. And then God says, you belong to me. You're holy as well. And so we have to remember, firstly, when we mess up, firstly, God is faithful and he loves you. Secondly, you are holy. You belong to God. So what are we to do? What does it mean to be holy? It means do the things that God would have you do. Because you belong to him. But we always should remember as well is avoid the things that make you mess up. Do you remember at the beginning of this passage, when I read it through, it's a very dramatic passage. When you get into this land and there's these seven nations, Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, these seven nations, larger and stronger, then you're to not have anything to do with them. You're to destroy them. You're to break down their altars. You're not to intermarry with them. What's all that about? Avoid the things that make you mess up. If you get too close to them, it won't be long before you begin doing the things that they do. Friends, why do young people fall away from the faith. Friends. Friends. The peer pressure. You don't want to do that. You don't want to believe that. You don't want to go to church. Friends. The pressure. Why do we want to succeed? Why are we driven to make more money than the next person? Often it's because of those we associate with and the values we pick up from them. We want to be as good, if not better, than them. Avoid the things that make you mess up. Keep clear of them. Don't walk down the road with the hole in. Walk down a different road. Avoid the things that make you mess up. Remember, God is faithful and he loves you. But the tough thing is, remember, you're holy. You belong to God. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love. So we're going to say these words one more time together. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love.